Verulam Sport.
Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting with your host, Tony Rice. And I'll tell you something, you've probably enjoyed listening to a recent podcast I thoroughly enjoyed conducting alongside Debbie Roberts and also Louise Harbord from the Ollie Foundation. The Ollie Foundation, in case you are at the moment unaware, is a charity situated within St. Albans and Hertfordshire with its dedication and focus to the delivery of suicide awareness and intervention moving forwards. Now, I'm lucky today to be speaking to a young man currently educating himself at a mighty high echelon over at Homerton College, Cambridge Blue. It's Louis Roberts, who's experienced some work experience at the Ollie Foundation. Louis, great to speak with you. How are you keeping?
Hi, Tony. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Hey, doing really, really well. I'm not going to lie to you, Lou. I'm a little bit nervous. We're a Monday as we're recording this. Tuesday, of course, is a little kick around against an old foe. So before we get down, talk about your experiences, talk about your insight and how you helped the Ollie Foundation. I know you're a football fan. I know you're a Cambridge Blue. What's your thoughts accordingly on this fun fixture, perhaps, coming up tomorrow?
Well, we've got VAR this time round, so we won't have any issues as we did last good decade ago with Frank Lampard.
Sure.
So hopefully we'll be able to bring it home tomorrow.
Oh, I like the attitude there. I've been saying this for a long time, right? I'm not one of these media bods who kind of flips and flops and gets the knives out. I'm not sold on Southgate's men. I recognise the firepower, but it's not really been on display. I do appreciate the fact, though. Mean at the back. No goals conceded in the groups. But they will be challenged against the Germans, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to create going forward. We haven't really provided enough to Harry Kane, despite the fact we've got some of the most creative midfielders just behind him. So hopefully we'll turn on the heat a little bit tomorrow.
And on that, because obviously, you know, as a Cambridge Blue, massive respect for that. I never quite reached the Oxbridge Halcyon status. A master of continental philosophy, I can claim to be from Warwick University, nevertheless. But I do recognise accordingly the standard that you're operating at. And a blue representing Cambridge against the old enemies in your world. We'll talk about that in just a second. But my point's dead simple, Louis. You're a good footballer. You're a high-caliber footballer. So, accordingly, you mentioned that briefly, we need to feed Kane more. Lots of my colleagues in the media are getting the knives out for Kane. 32 goals, 54 international caps. For me, a golden boot winner. You know that from the last World Cup. Class aplenty. I still remain confident that Kane can deliver. But I guess you can appreciate why my media colleagues are slightly looking to put his head on the chopping block.
Absolutely. It's easy to critique someone who's not bringing home the goals, especially when that's their only role. But we all know Harry Kane's ability. And look, if he gets the right ball, he only needs one or two touches a game to prove his worth. And I'm sure we'll get that to him over the next couple of games. And if we can get past Germany, then the fixtures are on our side to bring home the tournament.
Do you know what? I love your attitude there and I appreciate the optimism. I'm not yet sold, but obviously I would be dearly loving to be eating humble pie, especially on July the 11th. But time will tell. Of course, they've got to do the business on the pitch. It's going to be a big game. I'm sure everybody's excited for it. Anyway, before we talk a little bit about your experiences, both at that arguably globally highest level, academically speaking, and certainly up there in the UK-wise, and then move on to your experiences at the Ollie Foundation. Just quickly, I mentioned your varsity level. I know there was a big match. Just ever so quickly, put us into the picture of the result of that huge varsity clash.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the varsity game on Saturday, we didn't quite bring home the win. We suffered a 2-0 loss.
I suppose. It's one of those, sometimes you hear 2-0 and it sounds favourable, but sometimes the mere facts don't tell the full picture. Was it a ding-dong Barney, as you'd expect with a varsity? And if people are not au fait with varsity, what that literally means is it's Cambridge University versus their peers at Oxford. So it's a real competitive one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the game historically was held at Wembley. And while the atmosphere was definitely a microcosm of that, it was still on good display for all who were there. Cambridge definitely dominated the game for the first 20 minutes, and then unfortunately just slipped from our control a little bit, and Oxford managed to control the upper hand once they got the first goal, and they did well to keep the game from there.
Hey, fair play to your opponents there, but credit to you once again. I recognise and respect massively that that is a really decent standard. I know personally that the Oxford Blues, they play their your peers at Cambridge, still, I think, at Fortress Twickenham in the rugby version of the varsity match. So, again, being a bit of a rugby union man at heart, I do massively value that you're playing at a really good standard there. And, unlucky to you guys, but moving forwards, I'm sure there'll be a chance for revenge coming up next year. But now, Louis, I want to get a little steer here of your academic experiences, because, you know, like I say, raising a glass to you, young man, doing the business at Cambridge, at Homerton College, and it's geography that is your focus. But I think it's a little bit more precise than just that. Can you explain a bit more, please?
Yes. So when you study geography at Cambridge, it's a three-year course, and in your first year, you'll do human or physical geography. Okay. And in your second year, you get to specialise a little bit, and you can do a mix or one or the other. Mm-hmm. So I've just finished my second year and have done a whole year of human geography. So that looks at development, mm-hmm. Austerity and economics, mm-hmm. and then more like political stuff and citizenship mm-hmm. rights, social mm-hmm. studies. So it's a real good mix of everything. And it's great for someone who's not too sure what they're interested in, or rather mm-hmm. are interested in quite a few things and want to keep their doors open a bit.
I like your philosophy there, and I will add that I suspect the world is your oyster, Louis. So exciting times coming up. Just out of interest, though, academically speaking, if you were myself or somebody listening who wanted to just read, quote unquote, the book on human geography, maybe as it pertains perhaps to the elements of austerity or social disinclusivity, what would be your steer there?
What would be the book to give
people? The book, yeah. You... if you don't mind, putting you slightly on the spot there.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot, to be fair. I think you could just watch a few interviews of David Cameron's coalition government mm-hmm. to get all you needed if you were looking at austerity in the last 10 years.
Fantastic. I really appreciate that steer. And what I love, and the reason predominantly, obviously great to talk to you about football and the bigger picture and your experiences at that varsity level, but it was awesome for me, a real honour and a privilege to converse with Debbie Roberts, CEO of the Ollie Foundation, Louise Hubbard, her executive assistant, really recently. And I like the fact that you fused that academic insight and allied it to bona fide practical experiences directly at the Ollie Foundation. Talk to me a little bit about your experiences there, please.
Yes, so last year I came into the Ollie Foundation as a social media manager. For me, there was a bit of a gap that I visualised. The Ollie Foundation do unbelievable mm-hmm. work in the space of suicide prevention, but their target audience, of course, are predominantly young people. Mm-hmm. And the biggest space to engage with young people, social media, yet mm-hmm. the Ollie Foundation social media wasn't engaging with young mm-hmm. people. It only really took one look at it to see that most people my age probably would have clicked off if they had mm-hmm. seen their pages, and that was no discredit to them.
Sure.
They were still putting amazing work out there. It just wasn't quite framed in the right way to engage with young people. So my mission was kind of to come in and just shift. Mm. Keep the same things they're saying, of course, because it's incredible work that they were doing before and continue to do now, but just frame it slightly differently to engage with a younger audience a bit better.
Do you know what I think is really valuable about that? Because personally, I really value intrinsically what the Ollie Foundation are all about. But at the end of the day, you're right, that is their identifiable end user, really. Of course, they also want to engage with maybe businesses, schools, and sporting institutions who may want to take on their knowledges and their courses. But you're right, the predominantly it is to raise awareness about that kind of younger generation. So to have the wherewithal to identify that, and then the capacity to almost from scratch evolve their social media strategy, quite a big gig, Louis. Were there any particular key wins that you noticed during your tenure there?
I don't think there were any real key quantitative wins as such,
sure,
or
no.
really any, But for sure, it was just a new agenda to be set internally. And working with Louise, who you spoke to previously, and also Vicky from the Ollie Foundation, mm-hmm. in really shifting that agenda to the importance of producing consistent, reliable, and receivable content.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you what, almost a legacy of that, just to kind of contextualize here. I've been honored to speak with the Ollie Foundation on numerous occasions through various, what you might consider, traditional modes of networking / engagement. That very last conversation that I thoroughly appreciated with Derby and Louise came up because they did a really nice tweet, very succinct, but it was in connection to the Naomi Osaka matter in the recent Roland Garros event. And again, it wasn't like, you know, banging a drum. It was simply, we respect Osaka. We know not everybody can be an elite athlete, but if you're suffering, then, you know, get in touch. So I think as a legacy of that ability to produce on point, relevant matter, certainly ticked my box, Louis.
For sure, and it's so important that we're that for the Ollie Foundation, it's not just about putting out tick box content that can apply to any matter. It's really engaging with what's going on in the media, what's going on within communities, and actually relating their important content to everyday life, because suicide is so important and it's so much more so closer to home than we all think.
It absolutely is. And if you don't mind me asking you a slightly personal question here, because you seem to me like a very positive, on it individual. Obviously, as I mentioned, I'm convinced you have the world as your oyster. But people sometimes forget the pressures associated with studying. Sometimes it might be your very first time away from the cotton wool ball of a family environment. And of course, Louis, from your experiences at this elite level of academia, which is Cambridge, have you experienced colleagues, friends who, I'm not saying, I don't need to know necessarily if committed suicide, but certainly have felt under mega pressure for all of those reasons?
For sure, for sure. My experiences are obviously narrowed to an Oxbridge experience, so I don't know if this is a common thing from experience around all universities across the UK and the world, but certainly at Oxbridge, the intensity is consistently high. Our terms are shorter for a reason, to give people a break in the holidays. Mm-hmm. But that kind of speaks for itself in terms of the intensity of when you're here. It's constant. It feels like you're in exam season 24/7. Yeah, yeah. And that can really take a toll on people, if especially in your first couple of years where you're not so used to it. And if you feel like you're getting 1-2 steps behind, then it becomes 10-20 steps
absolutely.
Behind.
Absolutely.
The whole world is kind of on your shoulder, or it feels like the world's on your shoulders anyway. And I for sure had some friends who have really found it tough at times to deal with that.
And again, there's no book, is there, really, to deal with these kind of things? And we are what we are. Elite level athletes like Osaka. I think the great golfer, Matt Wolf, came out just in the recent US Open, again, talking in terms of that intensity of pressure and expectation. But here's the thing. I'm privileged, Louis, to speak with elite level athletes quite frequently. It's an honor to do just that. Their mindset and their ability almost to compartmentalize astonishes me. But not everybody is an elite athlete. The pressure of life is so nuanced and intense. And of course, COVID isn't making that any easier, is it?
No, not at all. And the reality of how our media is constructed is that the main things we hear about and the experiences we hear from usually come from these celebrities, elite athletes, mm-hmm. or anyone who would already be in the media. And so it's easy for someone who doesn't fall into that category to hear those experiences. Maybe they're suffering from their own issues, mm-hmm. and belittle their own issues because mm-hmm. they don't have the Premier League to win, or mm-hmm. they haven't got to win a tournament for their country. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's really important that we improve that representation of non-celebrities, non-elite athletes in the yep. media and their experiences with mental health.
I'm an idealist philosophically and just humanistically. Sometimes a little bit of a naive one, I'll have you know. But my ideal stance is that we help in our little way elevate and raise awareness of these factors such that one day, we don't consider mental health as a stigma. I still fear it is, although improving. I don't think it should even be considered a schism from the body. You know, nobody has any gripes if somebody breaks their leg and needs to take you wear crutches, do they? My point is, I'm aiming one day to be a small part of which Ollie Foundation and others are a massive, important part in forging towards what I consider the ideal, where we as a human race consider health and well-being as but one entity, mind, body. I'll use spirit as a whole force. I don't know. Am I terribly naive to aspire towards that goal?
No, not at all. And even conversations like this, where it may not feel like we're directly influencing that space at all, normalize destigmatization of mental health and it's these everyday conversations where we remind ourselves or we teach ourselves that suffering from mental well-being is not a choice. It's actually something that is happening without agency or choice.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we need to allow ourselves to deal with those problems in the proper manner and not hide or mask them for society's benefit of not seeing us struggling.
Tell you what, Louis, if you ever are sort of not totally in complete agency of your being, and I'm convinced the world is indeed, once again, to use that hackneyed one, your oyster, maybe consider ambassadorial work, because I tell you what, you framed that brilliantly. You put it across so really eloquently. I raise a glass and I salute you. One thing I would like to add as well here, if you're listening to this and anything of this resonates with you, or maybe somebody that you know, I would strongly recommend that you get in touch and reach out to the Ollie Foundation. There are other people likewise who will assist, but do check out www.theolliefoundation.org. A wealth of information is contained therein. Don't hesitate, please. People like the Ollie Foundation are in existence to help you if you require it. Louis, in closing, is there anything else at all you'd like to reaffirm or just give us a bit of more information about at all?
No, not at all. I think we've covered a lot of topics, and what you've just said there as well is just really important to reiterate that there are absolutely contacts out there and important organisations and individuals such as the Ollie Foundation who are ready to give all the support they can possibly provide to anyone who needs it.
Absolutely, perfectly well said. As a man who has ambassadorial skills allied to academic potential, and also let's not forget, he knows how to kick a football too. Hey, I'm sure maybe everybody feeling those nerves, feeling a little bit more anxious than normal ahead of Tuesday. Take a breath. It's just a game of football, people. We'll be fine. Come on, whatever happens. But Louis, I want to take a moment in closing to extend my gratitude for your time and your company. I would like to take a moment then to brand that out a little bit more and to wish you every continued success, happiness, and joy in your own life choices. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much, Tony.